Okay, Tov, and welcome to our back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now on the second Shiur in Perek Shmini, Perek Ha'arel, and Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, somewhere towards the bottom, and pick up Boy Rav Chama Bar Ukva. Rav Chama Bar Ukva wanted to ask the following question: Katan Arel Ma'u L'Socho B'Sheven Shel Truma. We've just established both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer's text support for why an RL is not allowed to eat truma. The question is, what about a baby who is less than 8 days old, who therefore by definition is not nimol? The question is he considered an RL? Can you use a truma oil as a salve on him? And here's the question. Arelut shelo bizman ma'akva lo ma'akva. Do we call arelut, which is before the time that you're obligated to, we call that ma'akeh? Do we consider it arelut or not? Good. So now, Amar Zera, Toshmas. Zera tries to prove that it is arelut from the following. The Pasuk, if you take a look at Pasuk 1 and Pasuk 2, you see that Pasuk 1 says that if you buy an Eved, then you have to do Brit Milah, and then he can eat, but the drasha is then you can eat, which means that if you're avadim, this is about Korban Pesach, if you're avadim or not, well, you can't eat. Pasuk 2 talks about a ger who comes, Molocho Zachar, Ba'azi Krav La'asoto. First Pasuk really is talking about your own Arilut, and the second one is talking about the Zacharav Avadav. And then it says that they offer the Korban Pesach. So one of them is talking about Asiyah, which happens in the afternoon. And the other talks about Achilah, which happens at night. Now, here's how it goes. Ainli Elamilat Zacharav Vishat Asiyah. All I know is about your own Zacharim, meaning your own sons. Vishat Asiyah, Vavadav Vishat Achilah. And of doing your own avadim at the time of achilah. In other words, you may not eat the korban pesach unless you're avadim or nimod. You may not form the korban pesach unless your sons, you have children, who are. Now, minayin litintam worshel zevizavishalm worshel zevizah. How do I know to cross them over and to say that also I have to make sure that my avadim are nimod before I can perform the korban pesach and my zacharim before I can eat? Talmud Lomar, Az. You take a look at Pasuk 1 and 2 on the page, the word Az is bolded in both, and that's the Gzeira Shavah. Now, Bishtam Avadav, I understand how you could have Avadim, Mishkachat La'adim, Tanu B'Shal Achilah, Tanu B'Shal Asiyah. How could you have Avadim at the time of eating and not at the time of performing? Going to Zavninu, Beni Beni, you bought them the late afternoon of the 14th. You bought an Eved the late afternoon of the 14th. And he wasn't Nibol, so therefore I might think that it's not a problem because it's b'shat asiyah. Therefore, it says Az to tell me b'shat achilah. Good. Elaz charav the itano b'shat achilah and the itano b'shat asiyah echim ishkachat la. But why would I need it for a charav? After all, since any child that I have needs to be all of the 8th day is the 14th of Nisan, so I already know that I can't perform the korban pesach until he's all. So obviously, I can't eat it either. So why would I? How could I ever have a situation where a kid's lack of mila suddenly becomes an issue after the time of performing the korban pesach, before the time of eating it, which is a few hours later? Isn't it talking about a case of a kid who's born in the late afternoon of the 14th, and that means ushmamina or lo chelu bismana habi arlut, that the kid's foreskin, the kid's lack of being circumcised even before the 8th day is still called an arlut, and I can't bring korban pesach. Of course, presents a very bizarre possibility. If anybody ever has a child born during the 7 days before Pesach, you just can't bring Korban Pesach. So Amar Rava, so Rava challenges it in the following Tispura. Take a look at the Pasuk itself. It says, Himo lo cho zachar v'azi krav lasu. In other words, do the Brit Milah and then bring the Korban Pesach. Right? Amar Rachmana, v'azi krav lasu. V'hai lav bar mehilai. This one's not somebody you can do Brit Milah. How can you say, do Brit Milah and then bring Korban, referring to somebody who can't do Brit Milah yet because he was just born that day? So we're going to come up with several scenarios where a child could become viable for Brit Milah the late afternoon of the 14th. So the first possibility we say is, the kid was sick, because he was a few weeks old, he was sick, and then he got better in the late afternoon. have an active lake called Shiva, but if that's the case, if you really have fever, then he gets 7 full days from the time the fever leaves him until Milah. So the answer is the Avin lake called Shiva. Good, so we're talking about a case now, just to flip it back a week. The kid became healthy on the 7th in the late afternoon. So exactly 7 days later is now the 14th in the late afternoon, and that's when suddenly he can have Brit Milah. B'nimale mitzafra, why don't we do the Brit Milah then in the 14th? Ba'inan meet late. The answer is you need a full 168 hours, full 7 days times 24 hours of health for you. I vatani ludoa yom avratok yom yivaldo. We have this teaching in the name of the Ludoi that says that the day he gets better is like the day he's born, meaning the day he gets better from this fever, he gets another 7 days until just like the day he's born. So now, my love, yom yivaldo lo bayin made late, taf yom avratok lo bayin made late. After all, when a kid is born, you don't say that he lasts 168 hours later. You say it's on the 8th day, which means if a kid is born in the late afternoon, let's say of Wednesday, Brit Milah first thing in the morning the next Wednesday, which is less than 168 hours. So if this teaching of Da, that Yom HaVratok, Yom Valdo, is to be taken literally, then he shouldn't need full 168 hours. We should have done the Brit Milah on the 14th morning. The answer is, Lo, Adif Yom HaVratok, Yom Valdo. Actually, what Da was trying to teach was just that he gets 7 days. Really, getting healthy makes it a little bit stronger. Because the Iliyom Hivaldo Lobani made the 8th. When it comes to being born, we don't then count 7 full days, we just count the 8th day. The Iliyom Avrato Baina made late. He gets healthy when he was sick, and fever leaves him, then he needs a full 168 hours. So that's answer number one. Answer number one is talking about a kid who was sick, born a few weeks earlier, let's say, is not able to be Nimol, and the fever left him late after the 7th, and therefore exactly 7 days later is the late after the 14th. I might think that that because it was not in the category of moral at the time of Karbanah Korban, so that wasn't a problem. Now we could even eat the Korban without doing Brit Milah, therefore I need the Pasuk. That's answer number one. Papa Mark going to Koiv Le'ene Liyunuka. He comes up with a simple thing. He says the kid was born, and he had a minor pain. His eyes hurt, or something like that. So Itpach Beni Beni, and he got better in the late afternoon. There you don't give him 7 days. There right away you do the Brit. Rava Amar, Gugon Sheyu Aviv Yimocha, we shouldn't be Tassurin. Rava comes with a different scenario that doesn't have to do with the health of the kid. He says, let's say that the parents were in captivity or in some other way, unavailable. And they got out in the late afternoon. Somebody had done the Korban Pesach for them. And now they were able to do the Brit Milah. It devolves upon the parents, so now that they're able to do it, they can do it right away. And they were not around during the time of the Hakorvada Korban. He comes up with another case, which is going to now take us for a while, which is a tumtum, somebody who doesn't have any discernible genitalia, who, baby, can't did an operation, and they discovered he really was a boy in the late afternoon of the 14th. Rav Shiravi Amarkingon Shotziro Shochutz Lepros Dor. So he gives it, Rav Shiravi gives a different case. He says, let's say that this is a kid, came out of the birth canal 7 days early, which means his clock starts ticking. And so then he is fully born on the 14th of the afternoon. Now he needs Milah right away. Parenthetically, they ask, Michaye, since when could a kid like that live? We say that once a kid puts his head out of the birth canal, then the umbilicus gets sealed off, the esophagus opens up, he's not nursing at all. So how can he live? He's going to die. The answer is, right? That because if the right things didn't close up and open up, he wouldn't be able to live once he was born. So we say that there was a disease, there was a fever there, and he was somehow fed by the fever in that week. Ishata the man, whose fever? He let me shot the day he was sick. The Achi called Shiva boy, then he gets another 7 days after he was born, fever. Ella Dezante shot to the Ime. His mother was sick, and somehow that kept him alive. Okay? There's another way to say it, which is this rule that a child can't live if he is born, partially born, beforehand, only is true if he doesn't cry out. In other words, he never really exhibits any signs of life Right? Aval hecha de ma'ave michi chai. Somehow he can live. Right? Again, something that's a little beyond us. Now, Amar Yochem Mishum Rabbeinu. So that's as far as solving the problem. And our answer now is that our Shalom Bizmana is not a problem. A child born on the 13th or 12th of Nisan, we can still bring the Korban Pesach and eat the Korban Pesach without. And this case of applying the cases across each other, across each other, is simply for those unique circumstances where a child is viable for Brit Milah the late after. Okay, now we go to Nu Halach. Amar Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bana, Arel Mikabel Hazah. And Arel can get Hazah on him. Hazah, that's a paraduma. How do I know that an Arel can get Hazah? Meaning somebody, let's say, was an Arel, and they were a Tzmei Meit, they wanted to bring a Korban, and they're not going to be able to do that just in 7 days of Tahara. They can get the Hazah on account. How do I know? Shekein Matzinu Ba'avotenu. We see this with our ancestors. This talks about the story of the generation of Yehoshua. Shekiblu Hazah Kshein Arelim. Right, here's the story. Bnei Yisrael wanted Bar not to be on any in the desert. We'll see why this is part of our Isuk and the Sugya. And as a result of that, when they crossed over the Arden, the first thing Hashem told Yehoshua to do was to mass on all of them. Then they brought the Korban Pesach. Now, they did the Brit Milah sometime between the 10th and the 14th, because they crossed on the 10th, did the Brit Milah in Israel, and they brought the Korban Pesach on the 14th after the Brit Milah. So now, Shemar v'Amal Lumina Arden Be'asor L'Chodesh HaRishon, right? They came out on the 10th. So we have a tradition that they didn't do Milah that day because they were tired from the journey. So that means they did the Milah, let's say, on the 11th. Hazah emat avilo. So when did they do the Hazah? So because after all, they were Tzmei Meit, burying their ancestors. The assumption is that they did the Hazah on the 10th, third day of Tahara, and then on the 14th, the 7th. And since they didn't do Milah yet on the 10th, they got the Hazah, the first Hazah, as Arelim. Alav Kshein Arelim. So, Avedil Malo Aved Pesach Klal, who says they did a Korban Pesach? That's, you can't say, Los Akhtai, Dukhtiva, Asud, Pesach. Pasuk says explicitly, they did a Korban Pesach. It's a very famous Korban Pesach. Matki Flamar Zutra, Avedil Malo Pesach, Abba Betumahaya. Zutra says maybe it was a Korban Pesach brought Betumah. Maybe they couldn't do Hazah because they're Arelim. They all brought the Korban Pesach Betumah because of Dilunim Sachim. Majority of the Tzibor, the majority of the Kohanim and the Azara Tameh, then you bring the Korban Pesach in that state. Ravashi Tanya Vehedya Malu Vatavlu Vasu Pishen Vatahara. Ravashi says we have a clear Braita that has a tradition that says they Brit Milah, they did Tvilah, and they brought the Korban Pesach Vatahara. So that means we have to say that the Zah that they received is Arelim is valid. Rabbi Yitzchak Amarav, Loni Na Priya Mila La Avram Avinu. Priya, pulling back the skin. Was not a mitzvah given to Avram Avinu, meaning it was a chadesh. Shneimar ba'eta hi amar Adonai Yoshua aseh lecha chavot tzurim. Right, the mitzvah, the beginning of Parakev Yoshua, Hashem said to Yoshua, make these flint stones, right, to mal b'nei Israel. And it says, v'shuv mal b'nei Israel, she mal them a second time. Now, v'dil ma'anach tu lo ma'ul, maybe it's only referring to the people who didn't have mila at all. The people who were born in the desert did not have Milah. In came my Shuv. So then the text, the Gemara says, why does the text say, Shuv, go back and mal them again? It must be that even the ones who were Nimol had to have a second Milah as per the instructions given at Har Sinai, which they had never fulfilled yet, which was Priya. Elalav lePriya, my Shenit. So now why does it say Shuv, mal ben Israel, Shenit, a second time? Lakushe sof mila tchilat mila, to tell you that the end of mila is like the beginning of mila. Ma tchilat mila, really meaning regular mila, the cut, me'akva, is indispensable. Af sof mila, which is the priya, me'akvinbo, is also me'akev, it's indispensable. Dinan, we have that famous Mishnah Shabbos. Elo in tzitzina me'akvina tamila, and we have this also in the fourth paragraph. Following our strands of flesh that are again the way of the mila. Basar chofet rova tarah, if flesh covers the majority of the corona. Ve'enochel v'truma, if somebody has it, they can't eat truma. Right, so this is tzitzina makvinat hamila, this is the priya. Right, and we see that priya is me'akev. Amar avina v'item rav yirmi abarab, basar chofet rov gov hashala tarah. So the definition here is it has to cover the majority of the height of the corona. Now, that's as far as the halacha goes. So we do see, though, that arelim can receive hazah and it counts. Good. Uvayimbar my time elomal. So now here's the question: why did they not go in the desert? One reason, tired of travel. Of course, they never knew if the next day they were going to travel or not. That's the sugya. The great shavach. Day, night, time. They didn't know. According to this tradition, north wind, which is a healing wind, never blew during those 40 years. So during the entire time they were in the desert, the north wind didn't blow. Now, the two reasons for this are going to be very, very different. We'll see. My time, but why didn't the north wind blow? Because they were disgraced from God because of the miracle. That means for the first year and a half, the north wind would have blown. And that means all of those people would have done by. And by the way, that would mean even people after Har Sinai, when they got the mitzvah of Priya, would have done Mila. All right, so that's when we have this other explanation. North wind didn't blow, so that the Anenei Kavod would not separate, disperse. Amar Papa Hilkach, Yomad Iva V'Yomad Ashuta, cloudy day or windy day, Loma Halinan Bay, Loma Sachrinan Bay. Don't do, the Yomad Ashuta, the south wind blowing. We don't do Mila, we don't do bloodletting. But now, since people do it, all right, Shomer P'tayim Adonai, my God watches fools. In other words, this is something that Chazal applies to a couple places. Behavior considered to be borderline dangerous, not out and out dangerous, borderline dangerous, and nonetheless, everybody does it. So they say, gosh, I'm going to watch the fools. Here we have the opposite tradition. It says the north wind blew throughout the 40 years, but it only blew b'chatzi alayla, only at midnight. At midnight that was the time that Hashem killed the b'chorot. So what is this teaching us? That the ruach tzfonit blew every night during the 40 years. By Talmuda, Kamashvan is teaching us the eight ratzon miltahi, that the notion of a favorable hour is a meaningful notion. And therefore, since midnight was a favorable hour, killing born and thus the redemption of Am Yisrael. Therefore, that's when the north wind blows throughout the 40 years. Amar Avuna, Dvar Torah, now we get to the issue of Mashuch. Mashuch is somebody whose milah has grown over so that physically they look like an RL, but really they have had milah. What's their circumstance? Ocha v'truma, really midorait, Rav Huna says, ini truma. Graham goes through a lot of nation in Rekha Arel. He drew a boner that made a gzera that he can't eat truma because he looks like an Arel. Meitave, Mashuch tzarich shimol. Brita says that a Mashuch has to have brit milah. So he answered, Midra boner. Good. Midra boner has to have milah. That's no different than what I said. The Karila, my Karila. So why did you even bring it up? The obvious answer to that was it's Dura boner. What kind of challenge is that? Hat tzarich tani. It just says he has to. It doesn't say it's Doraita. Ketoi b'seifa, because the asker, the challenger, was confused about the end of the statement, which is Rido Mer, lo yimom neshe sakanaylo. Yehuda said that a mashuch should not do rit milah because doing a second milah is dangerous. Amrulo, and the response to it is, v'haloh harbe malu v'mei ben kusiva. Many people did rit milah in the time of Shimon bar Kusiva. V'holidu banim uvanot, and they continue to have children. Shemari mol yimol, the pasuk says, in the case of Avraham, Parsha Lechcha, Imol Yimol, indeed you should do the drush is a filo mea pamim, even if you have to do it a second or third time. Yomer Priti Efar, that says that he has disgraced my brit. Right? The Rabot Tamashuch, this includes even somebody who had brit milah, but then it grew over. Yomai Vyomer, why do you have that second pasuk? After all, he said Imol Yimol, Tema Hai Imol Yimol, Rabot Sitzina Magvina Tamila. I might think, well, just perfect, not a second time. Toshmat Priti Efar. Right, therefore, the pasuk says he has disgraced or he has rejected my brit. That's the rabot the mashuch. Right, so who's sabra? The challenger thought because the chachamim who responded to Rabbi according to pesukim doraita, he thought that the yeshuv mashuch doraita. Therefore, the challenge. And he challenged Ravuna v'lohi, and it's not the case. Rabbanon cross machtamal, but the answer to mashuch is all the rabbanon. And they were just leaning themselves on Pesukim. So now Rav Huna still has the position. Mashuch mita oraita is considered fine. Mita rabbanon cannot eat truma until he cleans it up. Meitaveh, we have a challenge to this. Tumtum. Remember, tumtum is somebody with no visible genitalia. Ein ochel betruma. He may not eat truma. Nashav, which we'll get to in the next podcast, how that can be, his wives, va'avadav ochel, and they can eat. Mashuch, but somebody who's mashuch, again, somebody who feels overgrown. Vinolag truma hu, or somebody born circumcised, do not have any hatafat brit, hare elu ochelim. They can eat truma. Androgynous, which see, they hear that mashuch may eat truma. Androgynous, ochel betruma. Androgynous, who has bilak and truma. Androgynous, somebody who's a mafadite. Vein ochel bekotchim, and he cannot eat kotchim. Tumtum eno ochel lo betruma v'lo bekotchim. Tumtum can eat night. Now that's a little strange, because you just said a tumtum can't eat truma. Why'd you say it again? We'll get to that again in the next podcast. The point of this, for our purposes, is tani miat mashuch v'nolag truma hu arei lo ochlin. It says clearly that a mashuch may eat truma. Tiyufta, the Ravuna, tiyufta. So indeed, Ravuna has been refuted, and a mashuch may eat truma, at least as far as we have gotten. Yeah. Everybody should have a wonderful day, a great Shabbos, and the next podcast will pick up, re-analyze this sugya of the Tumtum and of